the cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
Yes, Adam Lepp, that is I, and good morning. It is Tuesday here in Mid-Ohio. So glad to have you with us, and it's time for the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, as the dulcet tones of my jingle person have indicated. Well, if you're a veteran listener to the show, thank you very much for lending an ear, spending time with me. Yeah, make the coffee, etc. This show is well worth it. We learn stuff. We talk about stuff. We debate tech topics. And like almost anything that happens in the broadcasting business, we have a lot of fun. That's always, I would say that's the most important part. Discussing operating systems. Maybe your server is not serving you anything other than gibberish. And maybe your printer is printing everything except what you want it to print, and maybe your personal computer is not really getting personal, and it's computing how much you get frustrated with technology. Well, all that stuff is discussed here on the show. And not only that, I am broadcasting a live video of me performing this radio appearance. If you're a Facebook friend of mine, that's wonderful. Just go ahead and go to my Facebook page under Adam Lepp in Ohio or Adam the Computer Guy. Or you can also watch the video via our radio station Facebook page, WWGH 107.1. Please become a fan or follower if you're not one already. And you can watch me do the show. Give me a call. If you're not in the Marion area, that's okay. We have listeners all over the great world we live in. You can go to our website at WWGH1071.com, or another good way to listen, especially on your smartphone, your Android or iPhone, would be through the TuneIn app. Download it if you've not already done that, and just search for WWGH107.1, and you can listen that way. Again, bookmark the station, make it a favorite. Love to have you as part of my listening audience. Would like to let you know that following this show, we have a new show called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Of course, it's also starring me. So I kind of take over the Tuesday mid-morning time frame here at the station, but that's okay because it's a lot of fun. Again, doesn't pay a lot, but that's okay. Money ain't everything, as they say. Anyway, as part of Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, coming up shortly after 10, I'll be having a special guest. It's a well-known author, professor, a blogger, outstanding source of information about politics, and he's an American history scholar, to put it mildly. He's been on with Scott Spears as part of Now many times, well, a couple times, with more shows probably forthcoming. His name is Dr. Ron Feynman. He a native of New York City, but he lives in sunny and always warm Florida. He won't be visiting the studio. We'll be speaking over the phone. Couldn't afford to send him a plane ticket, but we could certainly call. Ma Bell is not a problem at all. Anyway, we'll talk to Professor Feynman over the phone, of course, about President Donald Trump, or I call him President Donald, about current events. He's a source of information and great opinions about those happenings. We'll be speaking about that, but also the main topic will be about a book that he recently wrote, and it's an interesting book. It's called Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama. Came out in August of 2015, was recently issued in paperback. You can get it on Amazon. You can download it for electronic book reader and Kindle or one of those types of readers, or get the paperback or hardback, or find it in your local bookstore. Order it if they don't have it in stock. Anyway, this book is quite interesting. It takes a look at a lot of what-if scenarios. If we would not have had a certain president, if a president might have been assassinated. We take a look at the Kennedy and Lincoln assassinations, and a lot of conjecture, what ifs, and perspectives from a scholar and, again, professor and blogger about the American presidency. We'll be discussing that with Dr. Feinman. If you have a question for him, again, he has been on previously with Scott. He does make a lot of conjecture regarding the past presidencies and, of course, the current presidency that we have with Mr. Trump. So he's been on C-SPAN and many other shows. He has been interviewed on the radio and on TV many times. Anyway, if you have a question for Dr. Feinman or a comment, maybe a different viewpoint than what you might have heard him speak about previously, you can go ahead and leave it on our radio station Facebook page or on my Facebook page, again, Adam Leppin, Ohio, or Adam the Computer Guy, if you're not already a friend of mine, or even call the station. You can call during this show, and I'll have Dr. Feinman address your question or comment when he's on the air, which will start again about 13, 14 minutes after 10. But until then, we will be speaking about IT topics, technology topics, today's top topics in technology. We'll get geeky. And again, feel free to call the station, 740-383-9944. Love to hear from you. Like to welcome another Adam who's in the IT business. And where he lives, it's currently winter because he's in Australia. So good day, mate. Adam T., one of my longtime Facebook friends, again, also a computer tech named Adam. Must be a common name for those who are experts in this field. Thank you very much, Adam, for watching the video and for listening. If you would like to be on the show, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars and call me. I can actually connect you via Skype or Facebook, and we can talk on the air. So if you'd like to do that, you just let me know, and I can certainly make that happen. A frequent guest of mine, again, another person in the IT business that I do business with, his name is Nick CJ. He's from Eastern Wales. He won't be on today. He had, I think he had a doctor's appointment, and so he will be back maybe next week and the week following. But again, archives of my shows are available on the website at wwgh1071.com. Nick and I often discuss interesting topics and get on the mid-morning coffee break show, discuss politics and British royalty and who knows whatever else. So Nick will be back on the show very soon, again, maybe next week. So it's your turn to chime in. Love to hear from you again, 740-383-9944. So anyway, what is going on in the world of technology? Discussed computer techs, independent techs like myself. Again, my colleague, brother in broadcasting, Nick from Eastern Wales, and again, another gentleman that I am friends with in a virtual way who's watching my video, and I appreciate it, Adam T. in Australia. We're all independent computer techs, and of course, we compete with the other companies every single day. Now, why somebody would choose not to hire an independent tech with a lot of experience like any of us, I don't know, but you've probably heard of Geek Squad. And, of course, you've heard of Amazon. Well, Geek Squad is owned by Best Buy. They weren't initially owned by them, but Best Buy picked up their assets several years ago. Amazon, of course, the company that you can buy anything and everything from online, including, again, the book written by my guest next hour, Dr. Ron Feinman. You can buy his book at Amazon. Anyway, what are they doing, you might ask? They are rolling out their own version of Best Buy's Geek Squad service, which, again, offers in-home product installations and repairs on electronics and appliances and, of course, computers. It's called Amazon's Smart Home Services Store. That's kind of hard to say. Amazon Smart Home Services Store. It allows users on their website to book appointments for installations or free consultations. Company experts will answer questions and set up products like smart lights, thermostats, and, of course, Amazon's smart devices like the Alexa. When consumers buy a smart home device on Amazon, they have the option to set up an appointment. Now, service fees for Amazon's new in-home service vary, For example, the price to set up and personalize an Amazon Fire TV is only $10, while an Ecobee 3 smart thermostat installation is $99. Geek Squad installation prices vary. TV is $150. You could buy a TV for $150. And setting up home Wi-Fi is at least $100. Amazon is also delivering a 20% discount for some services leading up to Prime Day, which runs for 30 hours. And that began last night. The discount will continue for the next few days. So they're really plugging this new service, again, a competitor to Geek Squad of sorts. The company notes on their service page that their experts are not contractors. They are employees of Amazon. The website for Amazon and their new in-home service that competes again with Geek Squad says, all experts have been background checked and are licensed and certified where applicable. Now, Best Buy employs 20,000 Geek Squad staff members and also hires contractors. Now, following news of this new service from Amazon, the stock market was not kind to Best Buy. Their shares dropped 7%. Amazon's service is not available in this area. It's only on the West Coast, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles, and Orange County, California, and San Jose. So Amazon is looking to compete with yet another company with Best Buy and their Geek Squad service. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with the Tuesday edition of my twice-weekly radio show here on The Talking Place. WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting online, as I say, by the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. This is an audience participation show, so I would absolutely love to hear from you. Give me a call. We can talk about the tech topic of your choice, maybe a problem with your computer that you'd like me to troubleshoot. We do provide free tech support on this show, by the way. 740-383-9944. Now, some people feel that the desktop computer, even the laptop, is going to become a thing of the past. And I wholeheartedly think that is hogwash, because you still need to use a computer in business for QuickBooks or other accounting software, for doing video and audio editing, which I certainly do, being in the radio business, for doing graphical editing, Photoshop, etc. You need a computer with a nice, good processor and a 23, 26-inch monitor. So I don't think the PC is going anywhere. Maybe people are using tablets and phones to check their Facebook status and do other things that are less dependent upon having a large monitor and having a lot of power and disk space available. But again, businesses and people that just use it for personal purposes, will still be employing the very useful and versatile personal computer. Now, sales have been declining since 2011, and I think it's because computers are made better and people are diversifying which electronic devices they're using. But I think it's also because people don't like Windows 10 and before that Windows 8. I can assure you, I think they both stink, to put it mildly. So I still use Windows 7. And maybe that's also why computer sales have declined just a little bit. Now, the market share for personal computers peaked about 7 years ago at 365 million units. That's more than one per capita and for the United States. 269 million computers were sold last year. So a bit of a drop, but not a tremendous drop. Now, processors are starting to get more powerful, and along with that, very exciting. And computer prices also tend to drop as they get more powerful, and that's going to affect the market over the next few months. Intel and AMD, Those are the two main makers of processors that power your personal computer. AMD now has a new processor called the Ryzen processor, R-Y-Z-E-N. Now check this out. It has 8 CPU cores and 16 threads, and that's like 16 virtual cores. They also lowered the starting price for a well-equipped gaming computer to less than $2,000. Now, people can spend $5,000, $6,000 on a gaming computer with fancy video card, sometimes liquid cooling, a lot of RAM, and the best and latest and greatest processor. So under $2,000 for a high-end gaming computer is actually very good. Currently, you may know the fastest, most up-to-date processor from Intel, the largest maker of processors for personal computers, is the i7. They have the i3, i5, i7. Now they have the i9. The i9 processor, check this out, will have up to 18 cores and 36 threads. So it'll do a lot of computing at the same time and do it very quickly. The processor itself, though, will be $2,000, but considering how powerful it is, not a bad price whatsoever. The graphics processing component of this new i9 processor will get a significant increase in performance when AMD, the maker of the graphics processor component, introduces new products on its Vega architecture. And NVIDIA, another large maker of graphical processors, uses its new Volta architecture. The input-output on PCs is being upgraded to USB-C. A lot of new smartphones use USB-C. And Thunderbolt 3. Solid-state drives, which are faster, I would say better. Of course, they're more money, but they've, like a lot of new computing components, they are dropping in price. The solid-state drives, known as SSDs, are getting faster and also holding more data. So computers, after taking and I would only call it a slight drop in popularity and amount that are being purchased, they are making a definite resurgence with some extremely fast processors, better disk storage units, and a lot of RAM, to put it mildly, while still remaining in the price range that paupers like myself can afford. The impact of a performance battle at the high end of the market, again, for people that do the graphical editing, video editing, and, of course, gaming. Those are the things that tend to use the most processing power. Mainstream personal computers will see new technologies and substantial bumps in performance at much lower price points starting at the beginning of 2018. So at the end of this upcoming holiday season, geeks like myself will be getting quite a present: faster computers that will be available and a decrease in their price. For people that want to be productive but are more focused on social media, light gaming, and entertainment, Microsoft and Qualcomm are pushing the concept of an always connected PC, leveraging the performance of Qualcomm's Snapdragon 835 mobile processor. Now, you might ask, what is this always connected PC? Well, you've heard of the Google Chromebook, where it essentially uses the cloud, which is a network of servers and various locations, to store data and interact with the world, versus having a hard drive on your local computer that stores the information. With the cloud-based or computers, the Chromebooks, and this new system put out by Microsoft and Qualcomm, the interaction will take place continually, like a Chromebook, but will use a different operating system, using a Windows-based system instead of the Chrome-based operating system, which is similar to Android or another Linux-based operating system. So Microsoft getting into this always-connected PC market with their Chromebook competitor. On the side of computer software, gaming remains the application driving PC technology and market stability. Because again, you can't play these fancy games that require a lot of processing power and memory on your smartphone or your tablet. So gamers are serious users of the latest and greatest in computer technology. They don't mind spending a couple $1,000s or more to be sure that they have stacked the cards in their favor with respect to processing power and, out of lack of a better term, juice. Anyway, just on the horizon is a new generation of virtual reality and augmented reality head-mounted displays that hold the promise of improving the PC experience in just about every application, from engineering and design to entertainment and gaming. This is the first new application well-suited for the personal computer in a long time, because virtual reality and augmented reality require increasingly more processing as well as graphics and input-output capabilities than the industry can deliver today. But knowing how the computer hardware people operate, I'm sure they'll be catching up to this demand very soon. Now, the first thing to consider is the adoption rate of these new personal computers. While gamers are anxious to be on the latest and greatest technology, other power users like enterprises have longer and planned upgrade cycles. This means that adoption cycles can take a year or two for new technologies. On the positive side, though, is that power users account for more than a third of the overall PC market, by some estimates, and their ranks are growing. The shift to Windows 10 by consumers and enterprise users also is good news for the overall PC segment in 2018. The second issue is the adoption of new applications and technologies. While virtual reality and augmented reality hold promise, the applications are still limited and evolving toward a must-have user experience. In addition, the cost of the high-end computers that provide that rich user experience are $1,000 or more, which is out of the range of the average consumer, especially those who work at this station. So if I win the lottery, maybe so, but the price points are a bit on the steep side. And of course, like anything in technology, there is competition from other platforms. While personal computers are a great platform for augmented reality and virtual reality, mobile devices, game consoles, and other platforms will offer viable alternatives in the future, especially as we move to the next generation of high-speed Wi-Fi and 5G wireless interfaces. So, technology is always an interesting arena, competition, companies trying to get ahead of the other companies, and in the end, the consumer wins because it tends to keep prices down and the quality up. Now, this new surge in technology around the personal computer might slow down the decrease in PC shipments and may even show an increase later this year and throughout next year as the new platforms are introduced and the technology is pushed into more affordable price brands. So, good news, I think, for the PC industry. Again, business owners like myself continue to use and depend upon a personal computer at their desk. I don't think these devices are going anywhere. But again, competition from gaming consoles, smartphones, and tablets and other stuff will always be in the mix. About 37 minutes after 9, 23 before 10, here at the Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. You are listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice weekly feature here on the Talking Place, WWGH and WGH. That stands for Warren G. Harding, a president who, of course, lived a long time here in Marion. He was the founder of the local newspaper. Now, we've had 45 presidents, and an expert on presidents is a guest on my show next hour, which we call Mid-Morning Coffee Break. His name is Dr. Ron Feynman. He lives in Florida. He's a native of New York City. He has a really cool East Coast accent, by the way. So he is a native East Coast person, but he currently hangs his hat in Florida. He's been on with Scott Spears a couple times. He's on with me next hour discussing the United States presidents and a book that he recently wrote about presidential assassinations. A very interesting work, which he will be expanding upon, talking about some of the conjecture and the what-ifs that are addressed in this publication. And again, it can be purchased at your local bookstore or on Amazon.com. It was recently introduced in paperback. You can download it for the Kindle or Fire, as well as purchase the original hardcover version. Hardcover version. Anyway, Dr. Feynman and I will be on starting in about 35 minutes to discuss that book, as well as about current events. So we do that kind of stuff here at the station. We have great guests, and of course, your telephone calls are always welcome at 740-383-9944. Also, following the 10 o'clock show with me, which we call again Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, will be the lovely Linda Sims. And she is an expert on issues facing Marion and the Mid-Ohio area. She often has special guests of her own, and like any of the shows here at The Talking Place, she welcomes your telephone calls at 740-383-9944. I am broadcasting a live video of my show. Again, you can access this video at our radio station Facebook page, WWGH 107.1, and of course via my Facebook page. Look up Adam Leppin, Ohio, or Adam the Computer Guy. We've talked about Snapchat, the alternative to other chat programs, be it Facebook or Instagram or Yahoo Chat or AOL Chat, or even just texting on the old telephone. Well, on mobile phone, that is. Snapchat recently went public, but unfortunately, they're not really doing quite as well as you might expect them to do as a popular startup company. Snap, ticker symbol SNAP, which is the parent company of Snapchat, closed below its $17 initial public offering or IPO price yesterday for the first time since they went public last March. The stock had previously flirted with that level last month, closing at exactly $17 on June 15th. However, yesterday it fell to $16.95. Again, that's 5 cents, just barely below their IPO price. And that's something you worry about with a tech startup, because you expect these companies to take off rather quickly, and if they are stagnant or even drop a little bit, that could be a concern. Now, Snapchat faces concerns about their disappointing user growth, as well as mounting losses and the upcoming end of a stock lockup period, which will allow insiders to sell their shares. They posted a very large loss in the first earnings report in May. Check this out. Snapchat posted a $2.2 billion loss, and they only added 8 million new daily active users during the quarter. The stock fell as much as 25% overnight following that rather negative report. So these startup companies may go public, but if they don't remain viable and grow and make money, it could be quite disastrous. Snapchat peaked at $29 in March, but again, yesterday closed at $16.95. Analyst Anthony DiClemente sounded an alarm that third-party app download data suggests that Snapchat's daily active user growth will continue to slow this quarter. Instagram, on the other hand, continues to grow. Now, Instagram is owned by Facebook, so they have probably more backing than Snapchat. He said Instagram's strategy of replicating key aspects of Snapchat's use case is bearing fruit, limiting Snap's ability to attract new users. Now, Facebook has aggressively competed with Snapchat in recent months by launching copycat features in Messenger as well as WhatsApp, Instagram, and its flagship app. Of course, that would be Facebook. Once this lockup period expires later this month, Snapchat's employees and early investors will be able to sell their stock, which could quite possibly flood the market with more Snapchat shares. So Snapchat went public earlier this year, and they're not doing quite as well as we might expect. But, you know, the internet is a place that changes seemingly every day. So we talk about this next week. Very well, things could change. Adam Lepp here of The Computer Guy with the Tuesday edition of my twice-weekly radio show here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. Beep, 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 beep. Did I toot my own horn once again? Beep, beep. Oh, goodness sakes. I guess I did. Anyway, this great website of ours that I just talked about, WWGH1071.com, offers many things for you, not just the ability to listen to our station online. You can find out about me and Scott and Terry and Charlie and Linda and all of our fine hosts and hostesses. You can also download pretty much every show that we have broadcast since January of last year. And you can also click on links to email me and Charlie and Scott and Terry. Everybody else who works here at the station that has an email address. You can go ahead and click on the link and email us. We'll be happy to answer any questions, comments, complaints, or suggestions that you might have. And please keep in mind that just like presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, we have our own private email server. And since we have a private email server that I personally maintain, you can be assured that your communications will not be spied on by any other entity and will arrive quickly and safely and confidentially. So feel free to send us an email. For example, my email address is adam@wwgh1071.com.
In today's electronically dominated society, it's not surprising that famous people like to get a .com or .net, .us or other extension of their name in cyberspace. And not surprisingly, our current president, Mr. Donald Trump, is a large collector of domain names. In fact, he has over 3,000 of them. That's according to records gathered by CNN Money. After he started running for president, he bought 93 of them. So he had over 3,500 before even starting the successful presidential run. One of his domain names was TrumpEmpire.com. It had belonged to a Mexican cyber squatter, somebody buying domain names, hoping that they would be of value. And certainly TrumpEmpire.com would appear to be in that category. Luis Jorge O'Brien Cova Rubias is a civil engineer in Guadalajara, Mexico. He bought TrumpEmpire.com for $10 in April 2015, hoping that someday he'd be able to cash in on that name. And of course, he was right. But no deal came around. So you snooze, you lose. He didn't bother to renew it. Donald Trump snapped it up in June 2016. When he was told about it by CNN Money, again, for just a few dollars. Jorge O'Brien Covarrubias, again, a civil engineer in Guadalajara, Mexico, got a little bit upset about that, upset at himself, because he should have kept the name. He said, "What did I do? He's rude to people. that is referring to the Donald Trump. He mistreats people. Now he has an empire in every meaning of the word. CNN Money investigated 20 years of internet records using domain tools, which tracks those kind of things. Of course, some of the Donald's domain names are obvious, TrumpOrganization.com and TrumpBuilding.org. But as a lot of people do when they get these domain names, they register names that are negative because they think someone may want to get that name. Verizon did that, for example. When they started the company, it was a merger of other telecom companies, as you may recall, several years ago. They registered thousands and thousands of names, including Verizon. I'm not going to say the second word because it's not something I say in polite company, but it rhymes with trucks. So Verizon, then think of a word that rhymes with trucks that isn't really too polite, .com. They registered that plus many other names. And Donald Trump is doing, again, something kind of similar. He's registered TrumpFraud.org and TrumpScam.com. He bought TrumpNetwork.com in 2007. He also has TrumpMultilevelMarketing.com, TrumpNetworkFraud.com, TrumpNetworkPonziScheme.com, and many others. So Donald Trump, again, I think he's being very smart about this. He's registering names that are not just related to his businesses and his empire, but that are kind of negative to keep other people from taking them. For example, nomoretrump.com, trumpmustgo.com, voteagainsttrump.com. Not surprisingly, he has makeamericagreatagain.vote and makeamericagreatagain.us. So many of these names. So it's a smart thing when political people and famous people in general acquire domain names. They cost approximately $10 a pop, and they can be used not only to prevent others from taking them and using them and maybe in a negative way, but for building part of your business identity. Domain names are always an interesting topic. If you'd like to discuss it on the air, or you have a question or comment, what do you think about the Donald and his almost 4,000 domain name collection? Send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com.
Do you ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever question? Did my server serve at me? Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam, don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot key in online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online at thecomputerguy.com. There's a click of the mouse.
Yes, Adam the Computer Guy, that is I. And you are listening to the Tuesday edition of my twice-weekly radio show here on The Talking Place, WWGH. And that song was performed and written, well, I helped to write it, but written predominantly and certainly performed by our very own Paul Savage, the host of Heaven Express on every Sunday afternoon. He, along with his lovely wife, Glenna, are on that show where they sing songs that are cool like that and have other interesting information just for you. And you can listen again every Sunday afternoon here on The Talking Place, WWGH. Paul sings the theme songs for many of our shows. He is a multi-talented individual, to put it mildly. I'm here for the next 8 minutes or so, talking today's top technology topics, getting geeky on the air, broadcasting a live video on Facebook. You can watch me do the show. And of course, feel free to call me. Love to hear from you. Complaints, questions, comments, suggestions, insight about anything technologically related. Phone number here at the station is 740-383-9944. Well, last Tuesday it was Independence Day. Apple's CEO, Tim Cook, marked Independence Day by tweeting a quote from Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in which the 32nd president of the United States said America was a nation built by immigrants. According to the University of California at Santa Barbara's American Presidency Project, President Franklin Roosevelt made the comments before the Daughters of the American Revolution on April 21st of 1938. He detailed how his ancestors came over on the Mayflower and how it was crucial to remember, quote, the reasons that brought our immigrant ancestors to this country, the reasons that impelled our revolutionary ancestors to throw off a fascist yoke. Remember, always, that all of us, and you and I especially, are descended from immigrants and revolutionists. And again, President Franklin Roosevelt said that over 79 years ago, April 21st, 1938. Now, some people on Twitter considered Apple CEO Tim Cook's comments a not-so-subtle, let's say, rebuttal to President Donald Trump's travel ban that targets immigrants and refugees from six Muslim-majority nations. Now, the Supreme Court recently ruled that some parts of Donald Trump's travel ban could go in effect for now, as the nation's highest court would prepare to hear verbal arguments on how they should decide. And that'll happen probably starting in a couple months. Now, Apple CEO Tim Cook, as you probably know, has been a very vocal opponent to the travel ban since the Trump administration first announced it in January. Apple's founder, the late great Steve Jobs, was the son of an immigrant from Syria, one of the six countries included in the travel ban. In a letter sent soon after Donald Trump signed the executive order, Tim Cook said, "Apple would not exist without immigration, let alone thrive and innovate the way that we do." So again, politics and the IT business, they tend to go hand in hand, especially in 2017. And love to hear what you have to think about that. Do you think what you have to say about that? Do you think that CEOs like Tim Cook and again Satya Nadella from Microsoft, should they be involved in what the Trump administration does or doesn't do? Should they be involved in politics, or should they just try to build the best hardware and software? Always an interesting topic of conversation. Again, send me an email on our aforementioned private email server, adam@wwgh1071.com, or give me a call right now. I'm here in the studio live, 740-383-9944. You are listening to The Adam the Computer Guy radio show here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, broadcasting live from East Center Street here in historic Marion, Ohio. And of course, you can listen online via our website at WWGH1071.com. There is no shortage of warnings about the dangers of artificial intelligence. Modern prophets, for example, renowned physicist Stephen Hawking and investor Elon Musk, foretell the imminent decline of humanity with the advent of artificial general intelligence and self-designed intelligent programs. New and more intelligent artificial intelligence will appear, rapidly creating even smarter machines that will eventually surpass us. When we reach this so-called artificial intelligence singularity, our minds and bodies will be obsolete. Humans may merge with machines and continue to evolve as cyborgs. Again, that's according to very smart people like Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking. Well, what do other experts have to say? Artificial intelligence is a scientific field rooted in computer science, mathematics, psychology, and neuroscience. It endeavors to create machines that mimic human cognitive functions like learning and problem solving. Now, artificial intelligence has captured the public's imagination since the 50s. But historically speaking, artificial intelligence's successes have often been followed by disappointments, caused in large part by inflated predictions of technological visionaries. Back in the 1960s, one of the founders of the artificial intelligence field, Herbert Simon, predicted that machines will be capable within 20 years of doing any work that a human being can do. Marvin Minsky, a neural network pioneer, was more direct. He said, within a generation, the problem of creating artificial intelligence will substantially be solved. But it turns out that Niels Bohr, the early 20th century Danish physicist, was right when he reportedly said that prediction is very difficult, especially about the future. Now, here in 2017, artificial intelligence's capabilities include speech recognition, superior performance at strategic games like chess and Go, as well as self-driving cars and revealing patterns embedded in complex data. So artificial intelligence certainly having a big impact in 2017 and the years ahead, but has not taken over all human capabilities like some of these experts said back in the 50s and 60s. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, winding down the Tuesday edition of my twice weekly radio show called the Adam the Computer Guy radio show here on the Talking Place WWGH. You don't want to touch that dial, as they say, unless you want to turn the volume up, which I would suggest. Because coming up after the 10 o'clock features, I will be speaking with renowned author, blogger, professor, Dr. Ron Feynman, live from his home office in sunny Florida. We'll be discussing a book that he recently wrote, as well as current events and many other topics. So stay tuned. News and features coming up next. Obituaries, which are voiced and produced by yours truly, by the way. Teasers of past, present, and future shows. And, of course, messages from our valued sponsors, underwriters, and supporters. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.